anybody.
So, what's the plan now?
Kifar's face went hard, and he threw a tight glance at the Duros. The Duros laughed, a short, bitter exhalation, and said,
"That's a good question."
Kifar sneered.
"Shut it, Trahar. If you hadn't lost him and the Wookiee on the station..."
Trahar cut him off.
"If I hadn't lost them, D'Gorin wouldn't have had to rely on you, and we wouldn't be in this mess."
Baffled, Luke looked from Trahar to Kifar. Then he got it. Han was right. Kifar is a screw-up. "You never had a chance to warn them about the plan to take their ship with the Aegis, did you?
Not till you stunned me. And then you couldn't use the Falcon's comm, and my comm link didn't have the range to reach the ship, so you had to wait for the shuttle to land."
"I didn't have a chance," Kifar said.
"If I'd taken control of the smuggler's ship on the way down to the planet, they would have known something was wrong when the distress beacon didn't go off, and they would have made a run for it."
It was Luke's turn to snort derisively. He knew Leia and Han and the others wouldn't have run, and if Kifar actually thought that it was likely, he was a lousy judge of character.
He's a lousy judge of a lot of things.
But if the distress beacon hadn't started broadcasting as planned, Leia would have gotten suspicious and might have sent one of the Aegis's shuttles after them. But his gratification in Kifar's lack of judgment faded as Trahar said,
"You're lucky our backup is almost here."
"Backup?" Luke said.
Leia headed back to the bridge at a run, Chewbacca jogging behind her. "It might be the planet's damping field," she told him, "interfering with voice transmission." Chewbacca's skeptical-sounding snort implied that this was highly unlikely. Leia had to admit that she really didn't think so either. They reached the bridge, and she saw immediately from Han's expression that it was worse. Tarai stood at his shoulder and stepped away to tell Leia,
"The shuttle is on its way back, and we've received a hail from that Commander D'Gorin."
Leia's heart sank. It didn't work. They're back too soon. D'Gorin would have been able to get a sensor image of his ship as soon as he cleared the planet's field and seen the Aegis locked on. He should have been running, and he wasn't. "Did he say anything about the Falcon?" Tarai shook her head.
"Not yet. Solo's stalling him, trying to get him to talk, but it's not working. I've got Captain Kelvin patched in on the frequency, but no one's spoken to D'Gorin except Solo."
"Good." Leia went to Han's side. He had the headset on and was saying,
"We were just cruising through the system and stumbled on it. If you didn't want somebody to take it, you shouldn't have left it lying around."
Leia picked up the other headset and held it to her ear. Chewbacca stepped up behind her, looming and breathing heavily, and leaned down to listen in. She recognized D'Gorin's voice immediately. He said,
"Let me speak to your commander. You've made a tactical error, but we can still negotiate."
His voice was smooth, and he sounded far too calm. Leia muted the comm and asked Han, "Did he admit to being an Imperial agent?"
"No, he's playing for time,"
Han said, and she could tell his frustration was hiding deep worry.
"I think he's got help on the way."
Chewbacca lowed anxiously, and Tarai turned to the sensor suite, expanding the field of view. Leia said, "Then we need to move fast." And she needed to find out if D'Gorin had discovered the Falcon. She took the mute off and made her voice hard. "We've taken your ship, Commander D'Gorin. Surrender your shuttle immediately, or we'll blow you to pieces." There was a slight pause.
"You won't do that, Organa."
He's not surprised about this, Leia thought. He's angry, but not surprised. That was a very bad sign. "I will, actually." She spoke to Tarai, carefully not muting the comm frequency. "Are the concussion missiles ready to fire?"
"Yes, Your Highness."
Tarai gestured sharply, and one of the crew members dropped into the weapons station chair, hesitated for a moment over the unfamiliar board, then started the charge sequence.
"We have two of your people aboard, Kifar Aitran and Luke Skywalker. but I'm perfectly willing to trade them for my ship. You can even take the other rebel prisoners on board. I won't protest.
Leia grimaced. Chewbacca made a faint noise of dismay, and Han swore under his breath. She thought,
yes, that's what I was afraid of.
And DeGorin was definitely stalling them. A prisoner transfer would take time, and that was what DeGorin wanted. She made her voice hesitant. Give us a moment to discuss it.
Make it quick. I'm impatient.
Leia hit the mute on the comm. He must have another ship en route. We can take that shuttle, but we need to move fast. Tarai, we need the Aegis. Tarai hit the all-ship comm, speaking to all the crew still aboard.
We need to transfer command of this ship to the Alliance personnel. Get the rest of the Imperials to the brig, and then get back to the Aegis. Transfer our casualties first. Move!
Han leaned over the comm to add,
Island, Barani, if you're still alive, get up here. Every Gamble crew member who can operate a station, find a station and operate it.
Leia held up a hand for quiet and opened the frequency again. She said, Very well, DeGorin. I'll release your ship and crew in exchange for my people. Why don't you dock with your ship and we'll make the exchange? Farah arrived, waving a comm link and making frantic motions at Leia. Leia muted the comm and Farah said,
I can transfer the connection here, to the Aegis's comm system, and you can keep talking and he won't realize you aren't still on the bridge.
Do it. Leia opened the frequency again, as DeGorin was replying,
I don't think I'm quite that foolish, Organa. You'll have to come up with another arrangement.
Aylin and Barani appeared at the entrance to the bridge. Both looked bedraggled and exhausted. Aylin gasped,
Princess!
Leia motioned for him to be quiet. Han shoved out of the pilot station and signaled for them to take the stations. To DeGorin, Leia said, Perhaps we could both land on the planet. Farah returned with the comm link and mouthed the word, Ready. Leia pointed urgently for her to go ahead. Any moment, DeGorin was going to realize she was stalling too. Farah worked over the comm board for a moment, then plucked the headset off Leia's head, switched it off, and handed Leia the comm link. Leia heard DeGorin, unconscious of the interruption, say,
That might be amenable. But how do I know it isn't a trick? There is some sort of sensor-blocking field in effect on the surface.
Han was already off the bridge, and Chewbacca stood in the doorway, shaking his bowcaster for Leia to hurry. Let me discuss it with my crew, Leia said. Perhaps we can find a way to reassure you. She muted the comm link and ran, with Tarai and Farah and the other Aegis crew members on her heels. She encountered General Willard and Jarrell at the first junction, with Engineer Sorrel and the medic, Sarit. Han was there explaining the situation briefly. The general nodded and said to Leia,
You're going on the Aegis?
Yes, and I want you to take this ship into hyperspace and head back to the fleet. General Willard drew breath and Leia was certain he meant to argue with her. Conscious of their already small window of opportunity rapidly closing, she said, DeGorin has another ship en route, and we have no idea what kind of firepower we're facing. I'm going to retrieve Luke and Kifar, and then we'll be right behind you. You have to trust me to... The general held up a hand to stop the rush of words.
I trust you. Now go get our people so you can get out of here. If I have to come back for you, you'll never hear the end of it.
Leia hadn't been aware that she needed to hear something like that until he said it. She nodded sharply. I'll see you on the Independence. She and the others ran down the corridor. They passed other Gamble crew members, running or limping toward the bridge, to the weapons stations, or down toward engineering, and Aegis crew heading for the hatch connection. Everyone looked frantic and determined, but not panicked. Leia felt she was panicking enough for everybody, and wondered if all the others were just as good at hiding it as her.
Luke... You have to get him back.
If DeGorin left the system with him, she would never be able to find him. He would be questioned, tortured.
I can't lose him.
And it was her fault he had been captured. The more she thought about DeGorin's appearance on the scene, What he had seemed to anticipate and what he hadn't, she suspected she had made a key and possibly devastating error in judgment. Tarai took a report on another comlink frequency and told Leia,
"The Imperial crew is accounted for as best we can and secured in the brig. We think they have 10 crew members in that shuttle plus Degorin."
A crewman stood at the Aegis's hatch with a data pad, efficiently checking off the crew as they returned. CN and R2-D2 waited beside him. Leia said, "You two, get to the bridge. The Gamble's crew is going to need help up there." R2 trundled off obediently, but CN followed Leia through to the Aegis. Leia stopped her and said, "I meant you, too."
"I know," CN said, "but I'm sticking with you."
She jerked her head, indicating the Aegis and its failure so far to take advantage of the situation for profit.
"You've been right so far."
Leia appreciated the vote of confidence, but she didn't think she deserved it. "I think I've been very wrong about one thing," she said, as she started after Tarai. Han glanced back at her.
"You think Itran talked again?"
"I'm worried he did more than that." She watched him as they hurried down the corridor. "You haven't said anything about the Falcon yet." There had been no sign of the ship on the sensors, and Leia hoped that meant the Imperials had left it down on the planet, undamaged. Chewbacca made a worried noise in his throat, and Han said grimly,
"If anything's happened to it, guess what you owe me."
Leia didn't need to guess. "If anything's happened to it, you can have the Darsumai. And if anything's happened to Luke, I'll have Degorin's head." Chapter 16. When they reached the junction that led to the bridge forward corridor, Leia held up a hand for quiet. She unmuted the comlink and said, "Commander Degorin, before we release your ship, we'd like some assurance that our people are still alive. Let me speak to Skywalker."
"You have no need to doubt my word, but I'll let you speak to Itran."
Right, Leia thought. "Give me a moment, please." She muted the comlink again and kept walking. As the blast door to the bridge opened, Kelvin turned toward her. He was listening to a comm headset and told her,
"The last of the crew is aboard and we've started to disengage the hatches. The Darsumai has been redesignated Gamble 2, and the pilot reports that they are configuring their jump and will enter hyperspace per your orders on our signal."
Tarai reached the sensor station and said,
"Shuttle is still holding position."
"Good." Leia lifted the comm link that connected her to Degorin, then hesitated. "How sure are you, Leia?" "This sure, at least." She told Han, "Call General Willard on a secure frequency and tell him that if Kiffar Itran shows up at the fleet without us, then he's probably an Imperial agent." Han's expression went through several complicated changes, then he set his jaw.
"Well, that explains a lot. He wanted the two of us to break open the slave pen, said he didn't trust the Aegis's crew. But he must have thought he could get rid of me and find a comm system somewhere."
Cian stared in shock.
"But he... the whole time he was... Oh, no! That's how they found the Gamble on Arnot Station."
Chewbacca drew his lips back in a grimace and made a comment that sounded remarkably accusing. Han glared at him.
"It's not my fault. How was I supposed to know?"
Kelvin's brow furrowed, and he clearly thought he had been left out of a rather important loop. He demanded,
"When did you know?"
"Just now, actually," Leia said. "He must have been a deep cover agent, intended to report on our movements and possibly sabotage our missions while the Empire prepared a trap for the Alliance fleet." Tarai clapped a hand to her head.
"That lousy piece of... He didn't just tell Veest who you were, he made a deal with her."
"But after we rescued him, he couldn't get to a comm to tell Degorin that we planned this ambush." Leia eyed the sensors. The assistance that Degorin clearly expected might arrive at any moment. Kelvin touched his headset as he listened to an internal report. He nodded to Leia.
The hatches are sealed, and we're ready to break off.
Leia pressed her lips together, then said, We'll have to move fast, or he'll kill Luke. Kelvin's smile was wry.
Believe me, it will be fast. We're good at this.
Tarai added more grimly,
And we don't want to lose Itran. He made a deal with Veest and got Captain Matara killed.
Leia wasn't certain there was a direct connection, but Itran certainly hadn't helped. She clicked on the comm link and said,
Commander DeGoran, we're breaking off from your ship. We have your crew aboard, and we'll land on the planet to release them. Follow us down, or we'll space them and destroy your ship.
She cut the comm connection before DeGoran could reply. That's not going to hold him long. Let's go. Kelvin signaled the pilot. Leia felt the deck sway underfoot as the Aegis powered away from the Gamble 2 so fast its gravity sensors couldn't compensate quickly enough. DeGoran wouldn't buy her distraction. He might believe she was confused and out of her depth, but he wasn't a fool. The Aegis dived toward the shuttle, which turned away immediately. Leia kept her eyes on the sensors as the newly named Gamble 2 began to accelerate in the opposite direction, readying itself for its hyperspace jump.
Sir, we're almost in tractor beam range, the co-pilot said.
Kelvin touched his headset.
Tractor beam control. Mark the target. Ready?
Farah at the sensor station said,
Sir, new contact exiting hyperspace.
And we've run out of time, Leia thought. She stepped toward the sensor station as Farah enlarged the image of the incoming ship. It was an Imperial light corvette, likely the same one that had attacked the Gamble. Farah said,
Sir, it's heading for Gamble 2.
The corvette's course curved toward the fleeing ship. DeGoran must have managed to contact the corvette and inform it of his situation just as it hit real space. Or give orders, Leia thought. DeGoran might be in charge of this whole operation.
Break off the shuttle. Cover Gamble 2's retreat.
Kelvin glanced at Leia for her reaction, and she nodded sharply. Every nerve screamed at the idea of letting the shuttle go, but they had to protect the Gamble 2. Han watched the images from the sensor array fly across the displays.
That DeGoran's one lucky imp.
And the corvette knows General Willard is aboard the Gamble 2,
Tarai said, her voice tense. She was right. DeGoran would have informed them that he was holding the General prisoner aboard his ship. He might suspect that Willard had transferred to the Aegis, but with the Gamble 2 jumping to light speed, there was little doubt that the Alliance now controlled the ship. The corvette fired turbo lasers, but the Aegis cut across its field of fire and deflected the blasts on its own shields. Leia looked at the sensors, just in time to see the Gamble 2 vanish.
Gamble 2 is entering hyperspace,
Farah reported.
Repeat, Gamble 2 is away and clear.
Leia let out a pent breath. But the shuttle had taken advantage of the few moments to put distance between it and the Aegis. Now the corvette turned back toward it, shielding it from the Aegis's weapons and tractor beam. Leia started to order Kelvin to pursue it, then stopped the words in her throat. The light corvette was nearly twice the size of the gunship, though their weapons were equivalent if the corvette hadn't been modified. The light corvettes were custom ships and had practically been designed to take on pirates. She couldn't risk the Aegis. Not for one life. Not even if that life was Luke's. None of these people had signed on to the Alliance. She made herself say,
You'll have to break off. Chewbacca made a faint noise, an aborted protest, and she could feel Cian staring at her. She thought Han would be the one to blow up, but instead he just said quietly,
That may be a pirate killer, but this isn't a modified freighter. The Aegis isn't as outgunned as you think.
He's right.
Kelvin faced her.
Your Highness, we can do this.
There was nothing but complete conviction in his voice.
We couldn't help Alderaan. Let us help you.
Leia wasn't sure what he was asking for, if it was absolution or atonement. She couldn't give him either, and attacking the Imperial ship didn't make tactical sense.
I'm not Alderaan. For us, you are. At least at this moment.
Kelvin said again,
Let us help you.
Leia realized her hands were knotted into fists. She couldn't leave Luke to the Empire. She just hoped she wasn't dooming all of them. All right. Kelvin nodded and smiled gratefully.
You won't regret it.
I hope you don't regret it, Leia thought, as Kelvin gave the orders and the Aegis accelerated in pursuit. Chewbacca woofed in relief. Han just stepped around her, heading for the sensor console.
I got an idea. That light Corvette has external docking bays.
We can't board it, Leia told him, frustrated. It has at least a squad of 8 stormtroopers aboard and more than 50 crew members.
We can't board it, if they know we're there,
Han said. He leaned on the back of Farah's chair, studying the sensor displays.
Can you get them into the sensor field disruption?
The Aegis drew into range of the Corvette. The two ships seemed to dance as the Corvette tried to protect the shuttle, but had to keep moving too fast for the shuttle to dock. Kelvin ordered,
Fire at will! Keep their attention!
To Han, he said,
Yes, but even with their sensors partly disabled, they could tell we were locking on and they'd hardly hold still for it.
Or they would hold still and blast through our lock before we could board them,
CN pointed out.
Not if we use an escape pod,
Han said. Leia stared at him. You're out of your mind. And that might just work. Nobody liked the plan, but there was no time to argue about it. Leia, Han, Chewbacca, and Cian raced for the Aegis's shuttle bay where the Gamble's escape pod still sat in the cradle, ready to be used. They were trailed by a protesting Tarai, who couldn't seem to decide whether she wanted to talk them out of it or demand to go with them. Blast impacts made the deck shiver underfoot, though the shield still held. The Aegis darted back and forth to tease and lure the Corvette farther into the sensor disruption area near the planet.
You might need an engineer,
Tarai said desperately as Leia was about to climb into the pod. Han was already inside, starting its launch sequence as Chewbacca adjusted the seat so he could fit into it. I appreciate the offer, Leia told her. But between Han, Chewie, and Cian, I think we have it covered. Farah had handed Cian a satchel at the last moment, still packed with the small hatch-busting explosives and a few stun grenades left over from the boarding action against the Darsumai. Leia hesitated. Tarai, if I don't see you and Kelvin and the others again...
Don't say that!
Tarai stopped, confused.
I just... After what happened to Captain Mitara, I don't know what I mean.
Leia knew what Tarai meant. After the traumatic death of her friend and mentor, after confronting the reality of the crew's life as pirates, Tarai's world was spinning around her, and some of her basic convictions had been shattered. Even after 2 years of hatred for the Alliance, of blaming it for Alderaan's destruction, Leia was still the only safe anchor in that world, and Tarai didn't want her to leave, at least not yet. You can't be responsible for every survivor of Alderaan, Leia told herself. No one person could take that on and not go mad. It was worse than being the Alliance's perfect shining symbol and figurehead. But walking away from Tarai and the others tore at her. Maybe that was why she had been risking her neck so much lately. It was easier on her soul than the alternatives. Cian helped shove Chewbacca into his seat and plopped down beside him, and Leia had no time left for negotiation or persuasion. She just said, Think about what I've said to you. The offer is still open. If not, take care of each other. Leia dropped into her seat and hit the sequence to seal the hatch and pressurize the pod. Tarai hesitated for a moment, as if she might still protest, then turned and jogged for the blast doors, signaling the text to follow her. Leia strapped in, and Han said into the comm,
We're ready when you are.
We'll get you as close as we can,
Kelvin's grim voice answered.
Right.
Han signed off, but left the frequency open so they could hear the bridge. He gave Leia one of his typically hard-to-read looks.
You didn't have to come along, your worship.
We've had this conversation before. My answer hasn't changed.
This was Han's idea, and she knew he was fine with the thought of risking himself on it, just not with risking anyone else. But Luke being in this mess was her responsibility. Cian smiled tightly, and Chewie grumbled low in his throat. Han had tried to order both of them to stay behind, too. Besides customs enforcement and pirate hunting, the Imperial light corvettes had been designed for search and rescue after battles. They were equipped with exterior docking bays designed to handle multiple sizes of standard escape pods. Even in the sensor disruption area, the corvette would be able to detect something the size of the Aegis trying to lock onto it, but an escape pod would go unnoticed. Hopefully. Over the comm, they could hear quiet voices from the bridge, tense, but cool and determined. The Aegis fired at the corvette, and its turbo lasers fired back, the ship's hull vibrating at the impacts. Leia grimaced, imagining what would happen if the Aegis lost shielding. Then Calvin's voice said, "We're coming in close. Get ready to launch on my mark." The bay doors slid open, and the pod's cradle tilted. Leia tensed, automatically checking the small console's sensor screen. They were deep in the sensor disruption area, so the screen displayed nothing but an error code, which was to be expected but still made her nerves jump. Calvin said, "Mark!" As the pod dropped out of the cradle and spun out into space, the console's screen lit with a static image sent from the bridge, a diagram of the best estimate of the Aegis's position relative to the corvette. That would be all Han had to navigate. The stars reeled outside as the pod tumbled away. Leia caught a confused view of the Aegis's hull before a too-close blast impact dazzled her vision. She blinked hard to clear her eyes. Han bent over the console, and Chewbacca and Cian stretched forward to see. Leia leaned back as far as she could to get out of their way. Han made a quick adjustment, and the pod swiveled, came out of the tumble, and Leia felt the press of acceleration. Han stretched to look out the port.
"I make it 3 degrees.
Cian bit her lip. "I think it's 5. Chewbacca barked in agreement.
"Let's split the difference and call it 4,
Han said. He hit the thrusters, and the pod shot forward. Leia craned her neck to see. A metal wall rushed at them, a round docking port just off center. A blast somewhere above and forward blinded her for an instant, and she braced for an impact. The pod jerked, threw them back in their seats. Then it slid forward with a screech of metal and slotted into dock as if it had been built for this ship. Han let out a breath and said,
"Automatic docking sequence. It activated when we got close enough."
"That's good flying, Solo," Cian said, a little breathless. "With nobody running a docking tractor beam for us, if we'd been too far off..."
"Get ready," Leia said. She already knew what would have happened if they'd been too far off. "We'll only have a few minutes before they realize we're here." The last lock rotated into place, and the pod's hatch warning light went green. It slid open as Cian pressed the control, but the ship's inner hatch didn't open in response. That wasn't a surprise. Battle conditions should require all the ship's outer hatches to lock from the inside. Leia lifted the satchel and handed Cian one of the small explosives designed for just this purpose. She slapped it into place, and they all huddled back as she triggered it. It made a faint thump, the small charge sending an energy bolt right through the hatch's lock controls. The hatch switched itself to manual, but the safeties kept it from sliding open. Chewbacca surged forward as Cian ducked back, gripped the hatch, and forced it to one side. The Wookiee shoved through first, bowcaster ready, and Han, Cian, and Leia climbed out after him. The corridor was narrow and, for the moment, empty. Lined on one side by outer hatches that led to more docking stations for pods and other small craft.
"The shuttle should lock on at the main dock between the two stern modules," Han said. "We're about 30 meters forward from it."
Leia drew her blaster. "Let's go." Her skin prickled as they ran down the corridor. They passed a couple of closed blast doors, but both would connect to the heavily occupied forward section of the ship,
where the crew would be running battle stations in weapons, engineering, and the bridge. They needed a way to the aft section and the docking station where the shuttle would be taken aboard. Han reached the open blast door at the end and flattened himself against the wall. He took a quick look around the corner beyond the door, and Chewbacca leaned around him to see. Leia got enough of a view past them to see it was a junction, one corridor leading away towards starboard, the other heading into the port module. Leia heard a whisper of sound behind her. She spun and lifted her blaster even before she identified it as the sound of a blast door opening. Two dark-uniformed Imperial techs stepped out of it. Surprise froze them for an instant. One clawed for his blaster, and Leia's first stun bolt hit him in the chest and dropped him. The other ducked back and hit the control to close the door. But Cian threw herself down onto the deck and fired under the closing door. Leia saw a body hit the deck just as the metal panel slid shut. "Got him," Cian confirmed. "Should we?" Blaster fire from behind them cut her words off, and Leia spun to see Han and Chewbacca returning fire at crew members running at them from the starboard corridor. Chewie took one last shot and pulled back as Han fired into the blast door's control mechanism, dropping and sealing the door. That left them one option. Leia stepped to the side of the second sealed blast door as Cian pushed to her feet and moved to cover her. Leia hit the control, and as it slid open, she ducked down into a firing position. The corridor beyond was empty for the moment. They would have to skirt the engineering section, but if they moved fast, they might make it to the port module without the crew pinpointing their location. This way. And it would help to give the crew something else to think about. Cian, you have more of those explosive patches? Blow one of the escape pod hatches, please. Chewie slipped past Leia and moved down the corridor to scout the way. Han waited with Leia, keeping a wary eye on the junction blast door. Someone on the other side was pounding on it and yelling for a fusion cutter. Cian moved a short distance down the corridor to attach the patch to the nearest escape pod hatch, then sprinted back toward Leia and Han at the blast door. Just as she stepped through it, she triggered the explosive. Han hit the release to seal the door, and they pelted down the corridor as the decompression alarms sounded. Luke watched Kiffar start to sweat as the shuttle tried to match speed with the light corvette. The corvette was more worried about fighting off the Aegis, and the shuttle pilot was desperate to stay out of the line of fire and keep the corvette between it and the gunship. Luke was trying to decide if he would rather be blown up instantly or be an Imperial prisoner. On the whole, he was leaning toward the former. The shuttle jerked and bucked. Then he caught a glimpse of the hull of a ship through the forward ports. Trahar shifted and swore in derision.
"He almost took us right up the starboard engine."
Kiffar grimaced. Luke's nerves itched. Much as being vaporized would probably be a preferable fate, the bad piloting made him twitchy. The shuttle stopped vibrating, and Luke knew they must have finally been caught in a tractor beam. It pulled them in slowly toward a docking port between the corvette's two long stern modules. From what Luke could see, it wasn't a docking bay, just a large hatch structure designed to fit many different sizes of small craft. The shuttle was gradually drawn inside it and secured, and there was a loud thunk on the outside of the hull as the docking clamps locked on. Luke heard the pilot doing final checks and talking to someone on the comm. An older man stepped out of the cockpit and came toward Luke. Kiffar, Trahar, and the others unstrapped and stood, not quite at attention. The man had dark hair, very pale skin, and hard, square features. Like the others, he was dressed as a spacer, though his clothes looked more expensive.
"The princess didn't seem inclined to negotiate for your release," he said.
Luke was guessing this was Commander DeGorin. He shrugged.
"Why should she?"
His instincts told him Leia and Han were up to something. He just didn't have a clue what that something would be. DeGorin smiled, a cold and skeptical expression.
"Aitran tells me that she's very attached to you.
that you're a great confidant of hers, and perhaps something more.
Luke thought, good old Kiffar. He made his smile bitterly amused.
Yeah, I just found out that Itran's not very reliable.
Kiffar glared at him. Degorin's disgruntled sideways glance at Kiffar suggested that he agreed with Luke. It wasn't a surprise. Kiffar had failed to find an opportunity to warn Degorin that his ship was about to be boarded by Alderaanian pirates. That had to be a black mark on an Imperial agent's record. And maybe Luke could convince Degorin that Kiffar had done an even worse job than that.
It doesn't matter, Degorin said. Itran's told me who you are. You're the one who blew up the Death Star. And he's heard enough about your other exploits to know that we can have some very interesting conversations with you about rebel activities.
Luke gave Kiffar a disgusted glance.
Is that what you've told them?
He looked up at Degorin and made himself radiate earnest sincerity. Han had told him it was as effective as it was annoying.
The Death Star.
He shook his head helplessly.
That was just an accident. One of the older pilots talked me through it. Ever since then, I've been mostly working on X-Wing maintenance. They haven't even sent me out on any other missions.
Degorin put on an expression of polite skepticism, but Luke thought he detected a trace of doubt. Kiffar could have reacted in a lot of different ways, with amusement or exasperation, but instead he stiffened, his face darkening with anger.
You think this is going to work, Skywalker? You don't think we can break you?
Luke let himself look scared and desperate. It wasn't hard. If he didn't pull something off and get out of here before the Corvette jumped to light speed, he was in a lot of trouble. He said to Degorin,
"Look, you've got me. I don't have any reason to lie to you."
He glared at Kiffar in angry reproach.
"I know you're jealous about me and the princess. I know how you feel about her, but you can't lie to them about me. They'll find out."
Kiffar snarled and swung at Luke. Luke ducked but still caught most of the blow on his left cheekbone. He awkwardly lifted his arms to block the next punch. Degorin snapped,
"Enough!"
Kiffar reluctantly lowered his arm. His jaw worked, and he said,
"He's lying! He's in Red Squadron, and there's rumors that he was trained by a Jedi Knight!"
He turned to reach into the next seat compartment and held up Luke's lightsaber.
"You saw he had this!"
Past the throbbing in his face, Luke gasped, baffled and incredulous.
"You believe that? I bought it from a junk shop on Kaminor."
Degorin pressed his lips together, aimed a death glare at Kiffar, and said,
"We'll settle this soon. Command has a cruiser en route. We wanted Organa, but if we can't get her, the pilot who destroyed the Death Star would be just enough of an acceptable substitute to keep us all alive. But you better hope he knows as much as you've said he does."
He turned away. The pilot had been waiting just outside the cockpit and now hit the opening sequence for the hatch. Trahar stepped forward and dragged Luke to his feet. The shuttle's ramp lowered and Degorin stepped out. Then the pilot and the other Imperials followed him. Kiffar was next, and then Luke, then Trahar. As Kiffar reached the hatch, a security alarm sounded out in the bay. And Luke thought, now! With his bound hands, he shoved Kiffar in the back. Kiffar stumbled forward into the man in front of him and then whipped around, furious. In that moment, with all his strength, Luke jerked his head back at Trahar behind him and slammed the back of his skull into the Duros' face. Luke was pretty certain he felt a crack, hopefully Trahar's facial bone and not Luke's skull, but Kiffar was already throwing a punch. Luke fell backward and it caught him a glancing blow. He went down on top of Trahar, grabbed the blaster out of his hand, and shot Kiffar in the leg, the first available target. Kiffar dropped in front of the hatchway. Luke fired over him, out the hatchway, hitting the first man to try to lunge back inside and scattering the two men past him. Luke saw a stormtrooper helmet pop into view as he kept firing. Wedged between two injured but still moving bodies, another body half blocking the hatchway, his hands cuffed, Luke thought, "I don't think I'm getting out of this alive." But it was better than ending up an Imperial prisoner. That was when he heard the other shooting start. They moved fast and managed to bypass the passages to the engineering section that would surely be fully staffed with crew. So far, the Corvette conformed to the schematics Leia had seen, and it must have for Han, too, since he led the way unerringly so far. Over the shipwide comm, a voice said,
"Security to the main docking station."
"Is that for us?" CN whispered.
"Maybe. Or Luke might be dragging his feet," Han said.
Ahead was another set of blast doors leading into a junction that should connect to the port docking module. Leia breathed, "It should be right up here." Han and Chewbacca reached it first, and Han slid to an abrupt halt. Leia almost plowed into him. The junction was extended, with a large, slanted port looking down on the docking station. The far wall was open to space, the chamber protected and pressurized by containment fields, meant to accommodate ships of many shapes and sizes. Degoran's shuttle was in the center, locked into docking clamps, its ramp extended and hatch open. And a gun battle raged around the hatch, with someone inside the shuttle firing out, and several men in spacer's garb and a couple of stormtroopers firing in, trying to angle for better positions. Chewie hooted with delight, and Leia exchanged a look with Han. Grimly, Han said,
"Yeah, that's the kid in there."
Leia looked around for a way down into the docking station. To the right, a blast door opened into a large lift platform that dropped the short distance to the lower floor. Leia said, "Cian?" "Stun grenades?" Cian said, and pulled one out of her satchel. That was the moment when the blast door behind them slid open. Leia spun with the others to see four surprised stormtroopers. Han and Chewbacca fired blaster and bowcaster as the first stormtrooper jerked his blaster up to fire. Cian whipped back her arm to throw the grenade. A blaster bolt struck her in the shoulder and she staggered and fell. The stun grenade spun across the floor and Leia lunged, grabbed it, pressed the trigger, and flung it through the blast door. The concussion knocked her back, slammed her into the metal floor. Her ears ringing, she shoved herself up to see the four troopers strewn across the deck and down the corridor. Han staggered to the blast door, hit the release, and as it slid closed, he stepped back and fired a bolt into the panel to slag the controls.
"That wasn't a stun grenade, your worship."
"I think that was a concussion grenade," Leia agreed. She rolled to her feet and stumbled to Cian, who sat up, clutching her arm and grimacing in pain. Guilty, Cian gasped. "I just pulled the first one out of the bag. I didn't look..." "But it worked." Leia squinted at the burn in Cian's shoulder. The skin was blistered and raw around the open wound. The cloth of her jacket and shirt burned away. There was nothing they could do about it now. Leia dug in the satchel and held up a stun grenade. There were only three left. Chewbacca scooped it out of her hand and stepped to the blast door that looked down on the dock. Han grabbed another grenade and moved to his side.
"Ready?"
he said. Leia pushed to her feet and saw that the Imperials below had scattered, some running toward a blast door in the lower part of the dock, and others running for the lift tube. She said, "Chewie, throw long to port." Han hit the door release, and as it slid up, he crouched and pitched his grenade. It landed among the men nearest the lift tube, who scattered back. As the door lifted out of the way, Chewbacca flung his grenade so hard and fast Leia couldn't see it, but she heard the muted crack as it hit the port wall of the bay. The Imperials must have thought these were concussion grenades too, because the scramble to get away was violent. Han and Chewie ducked back, and the double thud of the muted explosions bounced off the viewport. Han straightened up, took a cautious look, and snapped,
"Come on!"
Leia grabbed Cian's uninjured arm and stood up with her. Han and Chewbacca dropped and climbed down the ladder next to the lift platform. They spread out, moved cautiously toward the shuttle past the unconscious or groaning bodies, watching the lower-level blast door in the far wall. With Chewbacca to cover him, Han shut it and shot the control panel. Helping Cian, Leia rolled the lift platform down and staggered hurriedly toward the shuttle. The ship's security alarm wailed, louder in the docking station than it had been in the corridor. "Luke!" she called out. "Is that you in there? Leia?" Luke poked his head out, then stepped onto the ramp. His hands were in binders, and he had a developing black eye, but he was holding a blaster. "Good to see you guys!" Dragging an Imperial out of the launch area, Han told him,
"You better not have shot up the inside of that shuttle, Junior, because that's our only way out of here."
"No, it's fine," Luke assured him. "Help me get rid of these guys in here. We've got to hurry. DeGoran said there was a cruiser on the way." Leia waited with Cian while Han hauled out an unconscious Duros and dumped him onto the deck. He told Leia,
"Itran's in here wounded. We're spacing him, right?"
Luke leaned out again. "You knew he was an Imperial agent?" Leia said. "We figured it out a little late. And no, Han, though it's a tempting thought." Cian slumped more heavily against her, slowly losing her grip on consciousness. Leia half-helped, half-hauled her forward, and Han caught Cian around the waist and carried her up into the shuttle. Leia climbed in after him and saw Kifar Itran lying on the floor toward the back of the shuttle. He was wounded in the leg, and Han and Luke must have found a couple of spare sets of binders because both his hands and feet were cuffed. Luke was struggling with a code lock key, trying to get his binders off. Leia helped Han settle Cian into a seat and then strapped her in as Han headed for the cockpit. Itran said,
"Princess, it's a mistake."
"Don't be an idiot," Leia told him. "You have until we reach the fleet to come up with a better story than that, and I recommend that you use the time wisely." She forgot Itran as Chewbacca climbed into the shuttle and she smelled burned fur. "Chewie, are you hurt?" she demanded. He woofed a denial at her and hit the sequence to raise the ramp and seal the hatch. Then he dropped heavily into the first seat. There was blackened and singed fur all along his left arm, and the patches of skin she could now see looked raw and abraded. "You are hurt!" Chewie shook his head vigorously. Leia didn't have time to argue with him. She heard a muted clank against the hull as the docking clamps released, and stepped forward through the cockpit hatch. Han's hands moved swiftly over the control board as the shuttle's systems came to life. He said,
"They're gonna try to stop us. We need covering fire from the Aegis."
Leia dropped into the co-pilot's seat, strapped in, and brought up the comm board. Chewie took a near miss but won't admit it.
"Yeah, but once we get out of here, he'll admit it plenty. He just doesn't like sympathy while he's busy."
Leia didn't comment. The only thing more dubious than Han's catalog of Chewbacca's odd habits and behaviors was Chewie's catalog of Han's odd habits and behaviors. She hailed the Aegis and said, "We've taken DeGoran's shuttle, and we're about to leave the Corvette in it. Be advised, there is an Imperial cruiser en route." A crash out in the docking station interrupted her, as the blast door Han had slagged blew open in a shower of sparks and smoke. Leia winced. "We need covering fire!" The comm crackled, and Kelvin's voice, desperate and urgent, said,
"Your Highness! We have multiple COM ID contacts. We can't see them on the sensors yet. We're just at the edge of the sensor disruption zone, but at least a dozen ships must have come out of hyperspace."
Han didn't glance away from the console, but he grimaced.
Uh-oh.
"Imperial IDs?" Leia demanded. Voices in the background gave conflicting reports. Then Leia heard Tarai swear.
"It's the pirates!"
"It can't be." Leia snapped. "Confirm that! These are ships from the clearinghouse?"
"They couldn't have followed us to this system. We didn't even know we were coming here,"
Han said, his jaw set in a grim line.
"Unless somebody from the Aegis got to the comm and called them after we set our course here."
Leia shook her head. "No." Over the comm, she told Kelvin,
They must have put a tracer on the Aegis when Vist paid for your repairs. She wanted to make sure you kept your end of her bargain. Whoever took over for her either suspects we killed her and wants revenge, or just wants the Aegis. There was a moment of shocked chagrin that Leia could sense right through the comm. The Corvette couldn't see the pirate ships on its sensors from its position in the sensor disruption cloud, but it had to be picking up those ID contacts. The Corvette's captain would think it was an elaborate trap, and they might cut and run for hyperspace. Stormtroopers, the rest of the squad that they had met in the upper corridor, appeared out of the smoke. Most had only blasters, but one had something bigger. Han said,
"We can't wait, sweetheart."
"Kelvin, we're launching now!" Leia said, ending on a strangled gasp as Han fired the bow thrusters and the sudden jolt shoved her forward in her seat. The shuttle fell back through the containment field and between the Corvette's modules, down and away. The star field wheeled as Han brought the little ship around.
"I'm heading deeper into the sensor disruption field. If we can land and get to the Falcon, we'll have a chance."
Leia didn't argue. The Corvette wouldn't be able to target them, and hopefully it would be too busy to turn back and try to pick them up on visual. The shuttle's sensors were showing nothing but error codes, and Leia doubted they could find the Aegis without being hit, either by the Corvette or the pirates. Luke stepped into the cockpit hatch and said,
"How's it going?"
He had managed to get the cuffs off and retrieved his lightsaber.
"It's been better,"
Han said. "How is Cian?" Leia started to ask. Then the port dimmed, and a too-near blast impact shuddered through the hull. Han swore, sent the shuttle into an evasive flip that was better suited to a snub fighter, and made the metal hull groan. Leia got a confused view of the Aegis falling past their port. On the comm, Kelvin said calmly,
"A pirate fired on you, Your Highness. We're engaging now."
"Thank you, Captain," Leia managed. Han sent the shuttle hurtling away from the battle.
"You're right, Your Worship. They got a tracer on the Aegis. That's the only way they found it and us so fast."
"She's breathing okay," Luke told Leia, answering her question. "But we need to get her some help fast. I couldn't find a med kit anywhere on board." Leia could still hear the Aegis's bridge. Someone reported that the Corvette had engaged the other pirates, unintentionally teaming up with the Aegis and confusing the situation further. Listening, Luke said, "The Imperials must think the pirates are Alliance ships." The shuttle fell toward the planet's gravity well, shuddering as it hit the upper atmosphere. They were close enough to make out the gray plains and the ridges that marked the ruined city. Luke leaned forward to type a course into the shuttle's nav screen. "This is where the Falcon is, if it's still there."
"If?"
Han managed to get a world of appalled recrimination into that one word. From the back, Chewbacca groaned.
"Hey, I was stunned," Luke protested. "I don't know what happened, but I code-locked the hatch, and C-3PO was in there, so ITRAN couldn't get back inside."
"Why didn't he call the Aegis?" Leia asked, over some expressive cursing from Han that they didn't have time for. Luke shook his head.
"I was having trouble with the comm after I landed. I think the field is stronger on the surface. He probably couldn't get a signal through."
Following Luke's directions, Han brought the shuttle down over the empty stone city, past shattered towers and circular streets covered by sand drifts and vegetation. As the Millennium Falcon came into sight, still parked on the plaza where Luke had left it, there was a collective sigh of relief. Leia felt her heart unclench for Han and Chewie's sake, and for Cian. The Falcon had enough medical supplies on board to treat a blaster burn and stabilize her, at least until they could get her to the fleet. Han landed the shuttle nearby, and they hurriedly disembarked. Cian was conscious but in pain, and Luke carried her into the Falcon while Han ran ahead to start prepping the ship for a fast launch. The hatch slid open as he reached the ramp, revealing the gold droid. C-3PO said,
"Oh, you're back! I was so worried! And I think Master ITRAN has been behaving very suspiciously."
Han shouldered past them, and Leia said, "Thank you, C-3PO. Please get the emergency medical station ready. We have wounded."
at once, Your Highness. Oh, but where is R2?
He's fine. He's with General Willard, heading back to the fleet, Leia told him. Relieved, C-3PO hurried away as Chewbacca dragged I-Tran out of the shuttle. Once they were all safely inside the ship, Leia left Luke getting C-Ann settled on a bunk and went to the cockpit. Han could get the Falcon ready to launch in 3 minutes, and this time she thought he did it in 2. As the ship lifted out of the plaza, Leia dropped into the comm station. Chewbacca stepped into the cockpit and sank into his oversized co-pilot's chair. She tried to hail the Aegis immediately, but Luke was right. The signal was weak until they lifted into the upper atmosphere. As the Aegis's comm station acknowledged her, she could hear Kelvin giving orders in the background. Tarai's urgent voice.
What's your situation?
The crewman, monitoring the comm, answered,
We're out of the sensor disruption area. The Corvettes destroyed one ship and damaged 2 others. We've been engaged by 3.
His voice was young and he sounded tense, at the edge of fear. It's bad, Leia thought. Finally, Kelvin's voice said,
Your Highness, are you safe?
Yes, we're on the Falcon. Leia hesitated and thought, You have to do this. They could be destroyed at any moment. She didn't want to lose them, but she had to let them go. Kelvin, get out of there. Take the Aegis into hyperspace. There was a hesitation.
Princess, we can't leave you.
We're about to enter hyperspace ourselves. You need to get out of here and get rid of that tracer. I gave Tarai a list of message drop sites. If you change your mind about the Alliance, come to the first one on the list a month from now. I'll meet you.
Your Highness, I can't promise you. I don't know what the others will want. I don't know what I want.
A blast that must have rocked the bridge interrupted him. Kelvin, please, go! Leia said, and cut the connection. The Falcon circled the planet and blasted into space. As they shot away from the disruption field, contacts sprang up all over the sensors. But Han had chosen their escape route well, and none of the incoming pirate ships was close enough to reach them. The Corvette was drawing most of the fire, and Leia saw the Aegis disable a persistent opponent with a pair of concussion missiles and then power away from the battle. The coordinates for the nearest fleet rendezvous point were already programmed in, and Leia set the navicomputer to calculate the jump. Most of his attention on the console, Han said,
They'll be all right.
Leia shook her head. She hoped. She just hoped. The Aegis's ID vanished from the contact screen as it disappeared into hyperspace. A few moments later, the Falcon followed it. Epilogue. Leia was anxious about the Aegis, though there were plenty of emergencies with the fleet to keep her occupied while she waited until it was time to go to the message drop point. Still, she found herself counting the days. By the end of the month, Cian had recovered from her wound, Luke had been sent off on another mission, and I-Tran had been questioned extensively by Maydeen. One of the things that had kept Leia busy had been tracing I-Tran's progress through the Alliance, changing any codes or procedures or bolt holes he might have had access to, checking heretofore unexplained mechanical failures and losses of supply sources that he might have engineered. Fortunately, I-Tran hadn't wanted to do anything that would have caused suspicion or drawn attention. He had been biding his time, waiting until he was transferred to the Independence. Leia knew they had been lucky to uncover him when they did. He could have continued to lie low and collect information and perform small acts of sabotage until he learned the location of Echo Base. But he had decided to risk it all with an attempt to hand Leia and General Willard over to Commander DeGoran. Leia knew that was why I-Tran had volunteered to go with her to the Aegis. It must have been a spur-of-the-moment decision, caused by fear of losing one of his prizes.
He could have done much more damage to us if he hadn't been so ambitious,
Maydeen had told Leia at one point. Perhaps we should take that as a lesson, Leia had said.
They had just come out of a meeting with Mon Mothma and several members of the High Command, and Leia felt like she would have rather gone another round with Veest's mad mining droid. That she had dealt as much damage as she had taken wasn't much of a consolation.
We should,
Maydeen had admitted.
But we won't.
At least the whole episode of the Clearinghouse hadn't been for nothing. Not long before the month was up, Han had taken the opportunity to find Kernsaw Devit at the trading port he was operating out of, and get an update on the situation for the Merchant Consortium. With Veest out of the picture, things had gotten drastically better for shipping around Arnot Station and its trading partners. Devit wasn't certain, but he figured that many pirates had been frightened away from the clearinghouse permanently and wouldn't be coming back to the sector. The word through the black markets was that at least one, maybe two, of Veest's would-be successors had died at Rethel Point during the battle with the Aegis and the Customs Corvette. But there hadn't been any noticeable gains for the Alliance out of the situation, no new supply source for Echo Base, and that had been made clear to Leia. So she was glad for more than one reason to slip away from the fleet on the Millennium Falcon, with no one but Mon Mothma and Maydeen's knowledge, to spend the time in Han and Chewbacca's occasionally irascible but undemanding company. She had brought C-3PO with her, and had more than enough work to keep her occupied while they waited for the Aegis to arrive. When they reached the message drop point, the Aegis wasn't there, but Leia wasn't too worried. Depending on where its travels had taken it and what repairs it had needed, it might take a while for the gunship to make its way here. Here was a small trading port on a world at the edge of the Inner Rim, a long way from the Clearinghouse and Arnot Station. The port was built out on raised platforms above a shallow freshwater sea, with docking pads, supply depots, cargo factors, shipwrights, and the usual clusters of drink and food service establishments. Everything was accessed by bridges, with small fishing boats sailing beneath, and several causeways connected the structures to the small city spread out across the nearest archipelago. It wasn't a bad spot to bide some time, even with the humidity and the morning mists, though Chewie frequently ended up being the one to go out to get food, and he had made it clear that he didn't take requests and they would eat what he brought back and like it. Leia settled in to wait, and to read the reports she had collected on her datapad. After the second day with no sign of the Aegis, she was too anxious to relax. Waiting was becoming nerve-wracking rather than a pleasure. The pointed absence of the Aegis was so painful to her that Chewbacca just watched her sympathetically, and even Han didn't mention the ship's failure to appear. But finally, after 4 days, he said reluctantly,
"If we stay here any longer, we're going to have to get jobs or grow crops or something."
"I know," Leia rubbed her eyes. They were sitting in the cockpit where they had a good view of the other landing pads. The Falcon's platform was a little higher than the others, and they could see the other ships, mostly freighters and small local transports, in between the stretches of water and the tall green fern reeds that grew between the pilings. "I just hoped they would change their minds." It hadn't been just a hope. It had been almost a certainty. At the last, she had really thought Kelvin and even Tarai had become open to the possibility of joining the Alliance. They had had every chance to betray Leia for profit, yet they hadn't done it. They had been honest with her and trusted her. They were honest with you. They wanted to help you. They trusted you. You, not the Alliance, she thought. And in the end, you failed them. I pushed too hard. I should have tried to set up another meeting just to talk. There was an implied commitment in coming here. That was a mistake. Han swung the pilot's chair back and forth.
"I don't know what else you were supposed to say. They knew the situation. They needed to make a decision."
Leia looked away at the busy crews and droids loading and unloading cargo. And they must have made it.
"Hey,"
Han said softly. She turned back to look at him.
"Let's give it one more day."
Leia got to her feet. She wanted to nurse her disappointment in private. "One more night," she said. She appreciated Han's generosity,
but she knew there wasn't any point to remaining longer. We can leave tomorrow morning. Han nodded.
If that's what you want.
She woke at dawn the next morning to Han banging on her cabin door. Leia had already drawn her blaster, thinking the ship was being attacked, when she realized he was saying,
"Get out here, your worship. There's something you need to see."
She threw her clothes on hastily and ran up to the cockpit just in time to watch something very like an Alderaanian gunship landing on the next platform over. This is January Lavoie. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Star Wars, Empire and Rebellion, Razor's Edge, by Martha Wells. This program was directed by Kevin Thompson, executive producer Aaron Blank. Star Wars, Empire and Rebellion, Razor's Edge, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited, LLC, and registered or trademarked where indicated. Copyright 2013. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production Copyright 2007 Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audio presentation. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.